Hey folks, Max Steffes from the Steffes Group here to tell you about our upcoming equipment auctions coming up throughout the Midwest, Montana, and Colorado. These auction sales include over 270 tractors, 70 combines, over 200 trucks, trailers, and construction equipment. Take a look right now at steffesgroup.com if you're in the market for machinery. With over 100 auctions to conduct before the end of the year, I bet you'll find what you're looking for. And of course, if you're considering selling some equipment, we'd love to visit with you and talk about how we can help. Look us up online at steffesgroup.com. That's steffesgroup.com.
All righty, thank you much. North Dakota Corn Council Studio Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr. And like you, I love protein. Whether you consumed it as a bologna sandwich in the combine cab over the weekend, or hey, Friday you went to the high school game and had a burger, or Saturday you had wings all day watching college football, yesterday wings and stuff for NFL games, we love our protein. So let's talk about it with Courtney Schmidt. She's Vice President and Sector Analyst with the Food and Agribusiness Industry Advisory Group of Wells Fargo. Hello, Courtney.
Hi, Mick.
Hey.
Happy to be here.
Thank you. Good to talk to you. Well, today was not a good day for the protein sector, the grain sector, the stock market. Seems like all the markets were lower. But the price of protein has been going up here for the last year. I went to the grocery store not too long ago and kind of shocked that even ground beef has gone up. What's driving protein prices higher?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Mick. In fact, if you look at the consumer price index, it actually has beef prices up almost 15% since 2019. So you really have a couple of factors that are driving these prices higher. You have on the supply side, there's been these back-to-back black swan events that have really constricted the supply, while at the same time you're having very strong demand, both domestically and from export.
So you kind of point the finger at the supply chain system, that one little weak link in the chain, and all of a sudden prices go up on the consumer side. What do you see happening on the supply side, the people who produce the protein?
You've definitely seen, when it comes to the processing, you've seen there's not quite enough processing capacity out there. So anytime that you have these sort of black swan events, for example, you had a fire back in 2019. Of course, you've had the COVID shutdowns of the plants in 2020, and now you're dealing with the labor shortages. So anytime that you have one of those little hiccups, it's definitely causing some price volatility, and you're having these sharp price movements for both the consumer and the producer.
I know the major processors are saying that, yeah, the processing capacity is one of the major. How about labor shortages? How are the labor shortages impacting the beef and protein sectors?
Oh, Mick, that's been a huge issue for the industry across all the protein. You just do not have enough employees to run these plants at full capacity. That's forcing these processors to make some tough decisions, whether that's focusing on cuts that maybe are less labor-intensive, reducing line speeds. They're also dealing with other supply chain issues, such as trucking shortages, packaging shortages. So you're having some major disruptions across the supply chain. Now, these plants are trying to combat this with either raising their employee wages to attract employees, trying to invest in automation. But, of course, those things don't happen overnight. So I would expect these labor issues to be around for a while.
And I see they're even offering some great incentives, financial incentives, for getting vaccinated. And so I guess they're trying control or at least enhance the supply of labor out there.
Oh, they're doing what they can. In fact, I've even heard of starting wages up to 20 or 30% higher, and some really strong starting bonuses out there.
So it's kind of frustrating from the consumer perspective, going to the grocery store, and it's kind of frustrating for the people growing the livestock, whether it's chickens, turkeys. We've got Thanksgiving coming up here before too long. But then we all love our beef, whether it's hamburger or filet. So where do you see the direction of prices, both from the consumer side and the grower side? What do you see happening in the future?
So it makes my crystal ball broke a long time ago, and I haven't been able to replace it. But happy to talk about maybe some headwinds and tailwinds for prices. So, you know, shorter term, I think it could be a little bit more of a mixed bag. The industry has concerns about these higher beef prices potentially curbing demand, especially like you mentioned here ahead of the holidays. Beef is definitely one of the higher priced items compared to chicken or pork. But we're also having these continuing issues at plants, the labor shortages, the older plants breaking down. But longer term, it does feel like there's some more tailwinds out there. As your listeners know, the drought there in the High Plains and the western part of the U.S., that's going to be restricting our supply next year of cattle. We're starting to see announcements of expansion at beef packing plants. We'll probably start to see that come online in the next couple of years. That's going to help with that capacity and help with those black swan events. And then demand is expected to stay strong. So longer term, it feels like factors are friendly right now for higher prices for cattle producers and probably for beef. But, of course, things can always change out there.
There's a little light shining in the backside of that crystal ball, huh?
A little bit out there.
Yeah, okay. Visiting with Courtney Schmidt. She's Vice President and Sector Analyst within the Food and Agribusiness Industry Group at Wells Fargo, and you focus on the protein and dairy sectors. I see in your past you work with large agribusiness clients to develop hedge and risk management strategies. Should producers do the same? Should they be working with their marketing specialists to hedge their profit per head?
Oh, absolutely. If you haven't already talked to someone, I always recommend reaching out either to us or to any of the risk managers out there to look into that and look at strategies that can help, especially with these volatile prices that you typically see in commodities. Having a good risk management strategy is crucial.
Yeah. All right. Well, easiest way to find a local Wells Fargo agribusiness specialist or somebody nationally, what's the best way?
Yeah, it's really easy. You can go out to wellsfargo.com, search food and agribusiness, click on the Contact Us link, and it'll get you right to us.
All right. Courtney Schmidt, Vice President for Agribusiness Industry Advisory Group there at Wells Fargo. I see you're an Aggie at Texas A&M.
Whoop. Yes, I am.
All right. How's that football team doing this year?
Yeah. So, so far we're hanging in there. We did lose our quarterback in the second game, but we were looking better last week. So.
All right. Well,
we're looking for a strong season.
All right. Well, there has been some mighty good years, so we'll wish you luck in that. Texas A&M graduate Courtney Schmidt, thank you very much for the visit. You have a good rest of the week, and we'll check in with you a little later.
All right. Thank you, Mick.
You are welcome.